Another part of the pretrial discovery phase is the request for depositions. At this time, both sides have to produce a list of witnesses that they may call in court. Every witness that they plan to call in court must be given, put on the list, and given in advance. And so either side has the opportunity to, in advance of trial, question everybody's witnesses from the other side. So you have to turn over your witness list, they turn over their witness list, and then we ask for depositions. A deposition means this, that I get to ask you and any witness that you're going to present, I get to ask you anything I want to ask you about the injury, the negligence, the whole trial situation, under oath, and you must answer truthfully, under oath, and if you lie, you're guilty of perjury. I get to ask you this ahead of time before we go to trial. And I get to do this either in, you know, my office or the office of your lawyer. We'll get together. There will be a court recorder recording every word you say, and it will be signed, sealed, and sworn that is the truth. And I get to ask you in advance. So this is sort of a mini trial in advance of the real trial, where you get to ask every witness any questions you want to ask concerning the case. They must answer under oath the truth. And you can't change your answers between deposition and the trial. That's called perjury. You can't be switching around. So when you actually go to trial and you're on the stand, the lawyer down there questioning you has a copy of your deposition of all the questions he's already asked you. He already knows all the answers to the questions he's going to ask you. One of the rules of being a good lawyer is never ask a question unless you know the answer in advance. So they're going to selectively ask questions, knowing the answers in advance, getting your side of the story out, and a question that they don't like the answer to, they're not going to ask. See, they'll keep that out. And so it's up to your other lawyer to make sure that gets brought out. That's the little jousting that goes on here between lawyers, is they have to be on top of this and know which questions to ask, already knowing the answers. They don't want to have surprise answers in court. They want to know ahead of time. So depositions, and you know, a deposition can take 2 hours, and you, if you're the chiropractor in the case, you may have to bring in your records. You're going to go over every page of the record. You go over your x-rays. You're going to go over everything, and you will be questioned about your care of the patient. You may also be questioned about your personal assets and whatnot. You may be asked to list every bank account that you have, to list any real estate that you own, to list your retirement plans and bank accounts, all your money, and they're snooping around, finding out what you're worth, and it's all being done by court-ordered process. You have to do it. So you can have depositions, you can have documents. The third is you can have court-ordered what are called interrogatories. And an interrogatory is a list of questions. And one side will prepare a list of questions, maybe 100 pages long. And they give it to the other side, and you must answer under oath all of those questions. Here is where they get into net worth situations and everything you own, and list your automobiles, and list your real estate, and list your bank deposit, safe deposit boxes, list all your bank accounts, that sort of thing. And under oath, you must answer all these questions. The fourth and other thing that may be done in the pretrial discovery phase is court-ordered examinations of people who say they're injured. So you may have another doctor, an uninterested, third-party, independent doctor examining the patient and giving a report to the court. Both sides get it, obviously. And so you may have court-ordered mental and physical exams here. This could be a psychiatric examination. This could be a physical exam with supposedly a unbiased doctor who issues the report and is paid by the court. It's part of the court costs. So anyway, these four items, examinations, interrogatories, documents, and depositions, can take quite a lot of time. You know, you could tie up, and this is why it's a couple of years before you go to court sometimes. Taking depositions on 20 witnesses can be a long, involved process. What if one of the witnesses is in Cleveland, Ohio, and doesn't want to come here for a deposition? That means both lawyers pack up and go to Cleveland. And sometimes they videotape depositions. They videotape testimony sometimes. It's admissible in court these days. So you got to pack up a video camera person, a court reporter, two lawyers, and we all go to Cleveland to ask questions of some doctor or other. So it could be a timely process and an expensive process. You know, for every deposition, you got at least two lawyers with the clock running at $200 an hour or more, a court reporter, you know, and a court reporter is going to produce a book of testimony that you have testified to. 1 hour, a lot of times, will be 50 or 60 pages, and so they produce a document, a book, that is your answers to the questions. So anyway, this pretrial discovery process can take an awful long time sometimes, and that's why the long delay. So once all of that information is in, once it's all in, there may be another little meeting with the judge, with the couple of attorneys, and the judge says, anybody want to make an offer here? You want to try to come to a settlement? And if you can't come to a settlement at that point, then the judge puts you on the calendar for court. That's when you really get on the docket, is after everything is in, and you get put on the calendar, and he says, well, you're going to come up in the next session of court, which means, you know, next September or something. You don't know what day you're going to come up generally, you just know what session you're in. And there may be 175 cases before you, so you don't know if you're going to get in that session or it's going to be delayed. Very often it's delayed another year or two. So there could be a long involved process of actually getting to court. At any time during this process, either side can make an offer or a counter offer, and you know, this whole thing can be come to a conclusion. It could all be over upon a release and satisfaction document being drawn up, money changing hands, and the case is over. We don't go through the process anymore. But assuming that doesn't happen, then the next thing that happens is your day in court. You appear in court, a jury is selected, the lawyers give their opening statements, and then we present witnesses. The plaintiff gets to go first, giving testimony, calling his witnesses in order, asking the questions that he already knows the answer to prove the case for negligence, injury. First we started with duty, but negligence, injury, and then causal connection. So he's going to be setting up witnesses to prove each element of that allegation. And they're going to try, and a lot of times they try all sorts of tricky stuff, you know, emotional things, and to make the jury feel sorry for the plaintiff, and all sorts of shenanigans. The judge usually rides herd on that and keeps it pretty straight and says, you know, cut the crap and let's get to the case and let the jury decide. So anyway, both sides present their witnesses. One of those witnesses, there would be material witnesses, people who, the plaintiff himself would probably be a witness, the spouse maybe, other doctors may be witnesses. But then we have an expert witness. There would generally be an expert witness. The expert witness is brought up and questioned and established as an expert. And one of the lawyers would say, Your Honor, we move that Dr. Wise be accepted as an be established as an expert witness. The judge would say, so ruled, you're now an expert, you can now testify about your opinion. And then they lead you through a series of questions, ending with a question that is called the hypothetical question, that says, if what the plaintiff says is true and if what the doctor says is not true, then is it to a reasonable degree of chiropractic certainty, is it likely that the injury was caused by the doctor? You know, and one doctor answers, one expert witness answers in the affirmative, yes, the doctor caused the problem, and to a reasonable degree of medical or chiropractic certainty. That hypothetical question is the important question asked to the expert witness concerning the facts in the case. We know that the expert wasn't there and didn't see it happen, so based on the facts as presented by one side, then the expert witness will make a decision based on the hypotheticals here and issue an opinion that, yes, indeed, this doctor did cause this injury. And then we repeat it with the other side. The defense gets to give a case. The defense puts on their case, asks all their witnesses, they bring their expert up, their expert gets to give opinions, go over the actual facts, and then we'll be asked the hypothetical question where the expert witness gets to give an opinion as to did the doctor cause this injury, and obviously for the defense he's going to say no, Doctor did not cause that. So all the evidence is in, everybody's done all their testifying. The lawyers get to summate, do their summations. They give their closing arguments and they do their summations, and the case goes then to the jury. But before it goes to the jury, the judge gets to do what he calls, the judge does what is called a charge to the jury. And this is when he reminds the jury about the law. And he says, in this case, it's a malpractice case. Here are the 4 points of malpractice. You have to have duty toward the patient, you have to have negligence, you have to have injury, and you have to have causal connection. If you cannot pinpoint every single one of those things, I order you to find this patient non-negligent, and the case is over. If, on the other hand, you complete the whole, all the dots fall in a row here and the formula falls into play, then I order you to find that the patient, the doctor was negligent in this case. So the jury goes back to deliberate. It may take 5 minutes or it may take 5 months for them to deliberate and come to a conclusion. But when the conclusion that they're coming to is, was the doctor liable in this case? Did the doctor perform negligently, causing injury, and was there a connection between the two? And if they come out with the positive answer there, they would say, yes, we believe that it is our opinion that the doctor was negligent, causing the injury in this case. If that happens, first of all, let's say if the other happens, if they come out and say, nope, there was no negligence, we don't believe the injury was caused by the doctor's negligence, then the case is over. They all go home, everybody goes home. Case is over. On the other hand, if they find that the doctor was negligent, then there's a second phase of jury deliberation that takes place. The judge is going to send the jury back to determine an amount.